Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
I want you to open your Bible now to the book of Isaiah. This is the gospel of the Old Testament. The book of Isaiah is the book of the Bible in the Old Testament, which talks about the coming of Jesus and talks about salvation more than any other Old Testament book. It is a very powerful book filled with many powerful prophecies. And today we're going to be looking at a unique passage of Scripture, but we're going to get two things accomplished today. As I mentioned earlier, we just got back from Indonesia. We spent 10 days there. And we were there visiting missionaries that we've sent from this church, as well as other missionaries that we support. So at 4:30 in the morning, I was up every day at 4:30 because I barely went to sleep. And something happens there at 4:30 that is pretty, it was startling the first time I heard it. And I heard their call to prayer, which I want to play for you, because in my hotel room, there was a little balcony, and I heard this noise, and I was like, what is this? So I stepped out onto the balcony, and I actually videotaped it. It's just the videotape of the dark, but listen to this. Five times a day, you hear that call. And that sounded like they were right next to you, but that's not the case. The mosque wasn't right next to the hotel we were staying at. But five times a day, especially early in the morning, the whole nation, all of those islands are covered in prayer. That's the people praying. They put it over the loudspeaker. And then there's this huge call that goes out, and there's just praying to the Muslim God. That happens every day five times. And quite frankly, when I was out there, I was overwhelmed. I had never heard that. You know, I've heard a couple times on TV when they make the call, but when I was actually there, it covers over the whole city. And you know what happened to me at that moment? The first thing that happened was, first of all, I wanted to pray back. So I just started praying. You guys pray, I'm going to pray. You know? It's like, well, I'm praying too. But to be honest with you, to hear that, it was overwhelming. And I felt little. I felt like a worm. If a verse came to me, and I was like, oh, Lord. I wanted to just call everybody in the church and say, guys, get up, wherever you are, get up and start praying, because we got a war going on. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But I said, now when I heard that, it puts a whole new twist on when Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Of course we need to pray. If islands are being covered, if nations are being covered with prayer to the one who cannot save them, how many know we need to pray and call upon the name of the Lord? How many would say amen? And so I went back into the room and I began to, and I was praying, and the Lord dropped Isaiah 41 into my heart, which I want to read to you. Now this is a different kind of, look, before you look up there, look at me. Listen, guys, I'm going to tell you right now. This is a different kind of sermon. This is a different kind of message. A lot of times we come on Sunday and we come because we need help and we ask God for this and we want to learn truth for our lives. and, you know, three steps to this, or you know, everybody wants more information to live a better life and honor God. This is different. Today, this is a message about saying, God, we want you to do a work in us so that we can do a work for you. Today, it's not about us. Is that okay? Not every Sunday should be about us. Today's Sunday, this message is a call to missions. This message is a call for us to remember, okay, that God's heart breaks over souls. When I heard all of this and I thought about these statistics that I had been given, it reminded me of Nineveh. Do you know in the Bible there's a book, the book of Jonah, and God spoke to Jonah and said, go and preach to these people, and Jonah ran the other way. And then God had a dialogue with Jonah, and he said, Jonah, how could you not care for these people? Don't you realize that there's 100,000 souls there, and they don't know their left hand from the right? If God cared for 100,000 souls in Nineveh, how many know he cares for 250 million souls in Indonesia? And if God cares for Indonesia, how many know we need to care for Indonesia as well? How many would say amen? Amen. But now, I want to read to you a passage of scripture that was a prophecy. It was called one of the salvation oracles, is the way the commentators put it. And God, even hundreds of years before Christ came, God talked about what he would do and how he was going to use his people. And so that's what we're reading. And I thought it was very interesting because God immediately sent me to this passage as I walked off of that balcony. I want us to pray to read it now. It says, Isaiah 41 says, do not be afraid, you worm Jacob, little Israel. Do not fear, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sled, new and sharp, with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them. The wind will pick them up and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. Now, this is a passage of scripture that's kind of hard to understand, and all of us find ourselves at times. How many people read the Bible sometimes and say, I didn't understand that? Can I see your hands? Yes. That happens to all of us. But you know what the real key is what about when you do understand? What about when you do understand? Today, we're going to take the next few moments and just simply break this passage of Scripture down so that we will understand. And what we're going to understand here is that there is a call to missions. There's a call to the kingdom of God. There's a call placed upon our lives, upon this church, and upon every soul in this church to try to reach other souls. How many believe that to be true? So what I want to do today is I want to pray that God would open up our hearts to answer the call. I want to pray today that we would, you know how the call works, right? It's like we're just minding our own business and the Lord does like this. And we have to answer the call. How many are ready for a tap on the shoulder? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for this time. And God, we thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for us, and that you took the time through people, through different means, to reach out to us. We thank you that one day, Lord God, you allowed us to experience the revelation of who your son is so that we could be saved. God, so that we could know that we have a place in heaven with you, Lord, for all of eternity. God, so that our families would be different, so that our marriages would be different, so that our children could grow up in a home that follows you, Lord. All of those things are possible because one day you reached out to us. And God, in the majority of the cases here, Lord, you reached out to us through people, because it takes men to reach men, oh God. It takes souls to reach souls. And God, we pray today, Lord, that you would, God, call us, oh God. Open our hearts. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say. Bless this word today to our hearts and our lives for the sake of your kingdom and for the sake of your glory. Do this by your mighty power, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So what we're going to do now is we're going to look at what it takes really to answer the call. What does the call of God, what does the call to missions really mean? And listen, we know that not everyone is going to go overseas. That's not for everyone. But everyone is called to share Jesus. Amen? Everyone, every single person here is called to share Jesus, to tell someone else about Jesus. And you know what hangs in the balance? What hangs in the balance is heaven and hell. How many believe that there is a hell and that people are going to hell? I hope you do. I hope you do, because it's true. The Bible says that it's true. Even though salvation is free, if people don't accept Jesus, they're going to hell. Okay? That's not condemning. That's not critical. That's not condescending. It's just true. It's just the truth. And we have the truth. And so we need to answer the call. So what does it mean? What is, when you answer the call to missions, what is actually going on? First of all, when you answer the call to missions, it is a call to dependence and courage. It is a call to dependence and courage. It says, do not be afraid, you worm, Jacob. Isn't it funny when God calls us worms? But how many know we are a worm? Not one amen. I'm an amen myself. Yes, we are. Little Israel, do not fear, for I myself will help you. For I myself will help you. Do you know one of the main reasons why people don't share Christ? One of the main reasons why people don't tell other people about Jesus is because they feel weak and they're not sure what to say, and they get self-conscious and they don't know what to do. They don't know how it's going to be received and accepted. And it doesn't matter if you feel weak. How many know that when we're weak, God is still strong? Christianity always started in the minority. It always started with a few people, and a few people that were willing to depend upon God. And as they depended upon God, God used them himself by his mighty power. He put his hand on them, and then he used them for his glory. And the same way he did that in the book of Acts, even today in 2015, how many believe that God still puts his hands on people's lives and he uses them? But he doesn't use the strong or the famous. He doesn't use the super gifted or the, none of those things matter. Even when we're weak, hallelujah, if we put our faith in him and if we step out in him, he says, I myself will help you. We don't have to look inside of ourselves. We need to look to him. And when we look to him, God will use us for his glory. God wants to use his people, and you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to know everything about the Bible to share Jesus. All you have to be willing to do is to open your mouth. In fact, he told the disciples, don't worry about what you're going to say. He says, when you get there, when you're in front of the courts, when you're in front of kings, don't worry about what you're going to say. I will put my words in your mouth. Just get there and open your mouth and watch me fill it. And you know what? They couldn't stand the wisdom of those first believers. The Bible says that even though they were unschooled fishermen, they took note that they had been with Jesus. And you know what? When we live here, we get up, and the powers, the war, the war between heaven and hell, the war between darkness and light. I'm telling you, we don't see it here. But man, you go there, you see it like that. You see it 5 times a day, you hear it. I went to Jamie's house and we were having dinner, and Jamie happened to live like let's say standing here where that wall is, there is one of those towers where they broadcast the prayers. And so right when we were together having dinner, right when we ended dinner, it just came forth, and it was just blaring over that loudspeaker. And it's day in and day out, you see it. But listen, just because your life is comfortable and my life is comfortable, just because you look at your neighbor and everything looks great, how many know heaven and hell still hangs in the balance? And we need to just depend upon God and take courage in God and be willing to be used by God to open our mouths. The Bible says, open your mouth and I will fill it. Open your mouth and I will fill it. Sharing Jesus is not that difficult. All we have to do is open our mouth. All you have to do is talk about the difference that he's made in your life. All you have to say is what the Bible says. And if we'll do that, how many know God can take simple words from a simple man and infuse them with the powers of heaven? Hallelujah. How many people are here because someone shared the gospel with you? Could I see your hands? Amen. Virtually everyone. Okay? Virtually everyone. Well, now's our turn. It's our turn. And all we have to do is depend upon God. You don't have to be... think that you have to be specially trained or specially anything. We just need to depend upon God and let him use our weakness and our frailty. And so when it comes to the Great Commission, it really is a call to dependence and a call to courage. If we just take our place and get where we need to be. I've been sharing this all day. I was talking to my son yesterday, and he was saying to me, you know, Dad, he had just come back from this conference. One of the speakers, it was really powerful. And he was saying, I've come to realize that the reason that the kingdom of God doesn't move forward at times is because the people of God are not taking their place in the kingdom. But if the people of God will just take their place, if every person just takes their place, how many believe that God has a place for you in the kingdom? God has a place for every person here. No one is supposed to just sit there. You see, it's not God's will for anyone to just sit on the sidelines and do nothing for God. But come to church and say, oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I love Jesus. Yeah, say grace, you know, once in a blue moon. You know, that's not God's will. How many know God has a place for every person in the kingdom? And he was saying, if everybody takes their place, then God can breathe on us in that place that he's called us to. God calls us to a place and he breathes on us, everyone taking their place, and the kingdom of God advances. It's not us being superstars. It's just taking your place. If we take our place, how many know I myself, the living God, is able to do all the work through us that needs to be done? Can I please get an amen today? Amen. All we have to do is just get where God wants us to be. And in our weakness, in what we don't know, in what we can't do, in what we don't have, the God becomes all in all, and he moves in power through our lives. So the first thing is a call to dependence and a call to courage to be bold. Second, there's a call to transformation and prayer. The second is a call to transformation and prayer. Look at this. It says, see, let's read this statement together. Ready? See, I will make you into a threshing sled. Okay, notice he doesn't say, you will do this. He says, I will make you. Okay, we don't make ourselves, but God makes us. I will make you into a threshing sled. Now, let me show you what that is. Okay, this is a board that is used by farmers that when they chop the wheat out of the field, they go to separate the good part of the wheat from the bad part of the wheat, and they use these boards, and these boards have these teeth in them on the bottom. And these teeth are used to separate the wheat from the chaff. Here's how it, next slide, please. So the farmer stands on that board, and they have animals pull them around. And the board goes over all of that wheat, and there's a separation that takes place. And then they pick up the good stuff, and they throw out the bad stuff, what's useless. So God says, look, you may be a worm, but I'm able to transform you. You might be ineffective, but I can change you by my power. I will make you. I'll take you from a worm and make you an instrument of separation where we start to reap the harvest. And listen, how many know that God can send his spirit and transform his people? I began to pray, God, would you make the Chicago Tabernacle a threshing sled? Would you put new teeth in our prayers? Oh God, would you put new teeth in our spiritual lives? God wants to transform us into something else. Listen, hold on. God wants to make us the kind of church that shakes the kingdom of darkness. God wants us to pray prayers that when we pray, people are set free. This is the will of God. God is able to change people. He's able to transform. We don't change ourselves. We can't change ourselves. But man, the Spirit of God can come in and he can make us what he wants us to be. God is able to do it by his mighty power. See, that's what happened in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, there were these simple guys and they spent 3 years with Jesus. And Jesus said, listen, even though I've been teaching you all this stuff, I'm going to rise from the dead. I'm going to be with my Father. And then he said, don't leave Jerusalem. I want you to go, but don't leave until I change you. So isn't it interesting? We live in a culture, we put so much stock in education. Okay? Well, listen, you can't get a better education than 3 years with Jesus. Amen? But here's what Jesus said. I don't want you to leave. Because what I taught you, you still need something else. You need God to transform you. You need a visitation of the power of God. You need the Spirit of God to come down upon you. Then I'm going to take you from being a worm to a threshing sled. It's a call to transformation. It's a call to say, God, it's like I've heard people pray this prayer. I've prayed it myself. I've prayed, God, use me, oh God, or take me home. I'm going to die if you don't use me. I don't want to be on this earth and just live the American dream. I'd rather live the heavenly dream upstairs, right? Okay? I don't want to just my house, my this, my that, my this, my that, my this. What is all of that? Do you know it's all going to burn up? Heaven and hell hangs in the balance. And there's nothing wrong with being blessed. There's nothing wrong. Every day we got to pray, God, give us a day, this day, our daily bread. God, help me in my marriage. God, help my children. God, protect my children. I don't know about you, but I pray about all of those things. God, help us pay bills. Help us to do this. Help us to do that. God has no problem with that. God, I want to get married, or I want this, or I want that. I want a promotion. God has no problems with that. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But let me tell you something, what's wrong is to just pray about that when people are going to hell in a handbasket, as they say. How many know we also need to pray, God, do a work in me so that I can do a work for you, God. God, send your Holy Spirit into my life, God. Send the power of heaven. Transform me, God. And make me into a threshing sled. Look at this verse again. Look, we're almost done here. But it says, you will thresh the mountains and crush them. And crush them. Jesus said, if you have faith, even the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain and say, be cast into the sea, and it will be cast into the sea. But you know what that takes? That takes the power of the Holy Spirit. That takes God making us. That's what it takes. It takes God turning us into sleds that can thresh. Do you know when Jesus would walk on the earth, he would encounter demon-possessed people, and the demons would start screaming and shaking. Apostle Paul, Peter, they would walk into towns, people were demon-possessed, they would start screaming and shaking. They would say, oh, well, that doesn't happen anymore. It does. It does. But listen, you know why it doesn't happen? It's because we're so not in tune with heaven and hell that you know what the devil does? He just says, listen, why should I show myself to these people? They don't think about me, and that's the way I like it, because I could keep just suckering everyone in right into hell. So why should he manifest? But I was talking to Jamie. He says, man, I've been preaching in places and people start rolling on the ground. People are demon possessed. They manifest all the time. All over the world, you talk to missionaries all over the world. Same thing that happened in the New Testament. It's happening right now. Are you kidding? Listen, I grew up, my family's from Cuba. I had a aunts and uncles. They were santeros. I had an aunt that was a santero. Santero means she was like a voodoo doctor. When I was a little boy, I went into a house, and they were speaking in demonic tongues, and people were rolling around the ground like snakes. Don't tell me that's not going on. That's going on right in this country. But it's on the down low. You know why? Because we're asleep. I was 7 years old. There was a lady on the third floor. She would sit there. She had all of these hideous demonic idols. She would sit there, and somebody would come. My parents would go many times, and she would drink and smoke a cigar and drink, and she would tell people all about their lives. That's called familiar spirits, going to mediums and fortune tellers and all that. Those are familiar spirits. Those are demonic spirits that are looking at our lives, and they come, and some person channels them. But you know, that's all counterfeit. You know what's supposed to happen? Okay, what's supposed to happen is that the people of God are supposed to have the Spirit of God flowing through them, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we're supposed to be so full of God that the demons tremble. We're supposed to be able to pray depression off of people and lay hands on people. People get healed and see the power of God and the glory of God come into people's lives. You know, how many know? You know what you call that? You call that New Testament Christianity. Your God sends his Spirit and he brings transformation. Oh, that God would make us desperate for his power to visit us once again. That he would make us desperate. I was like, Lord, you got to do something in our church. I thank God for our church. I think, you know, God, we're doing okay, you know. But God, the time is short. I believe. I believe that there are world changers in this room. This is one of the most unique collections of people I've ever seen in my life. We have people from all walks of life. We have people gifted in so many incredible ways. We have people strategically placed in so many situations. And you know what? All of that is a God plan. It's a divine plan, but we need to be on post, full of the Holy Spirit, transformed by the power of the living God. We have to be like a threshing sled, ready to crush the mountains in the workplace, at school, at different places. God says, I will make you. Everyone say, make me, God. Because that's what he said. And so a call to missions begins with answering the call and the promise, believing the promise that God says, I'm going to take you from being a worm to a mighty instrument that can crush mountains. He said, well, that's for other people. Prayers for other. You know, it's amazing to me how prayers for other people, the evangelism for other people, everything is for other people. How many know it's not for other people, it's for us? Can I get an amen? It's for us. Look at what the Bible says in the book of Jude. It says, but you, dear friends, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. God wants to get us back to praying in the Holy Spirit. Listen, brothers and sisters, there's praying and then there's praying. Okay? And thank you, Jesus, for this food. That's good. Okay? But how many know there's more to praying than that? Okay? God wants us to start praying. But when that happens, it's by the power of the Spirit of the living God. Do you know that when we did like 5 days of training, and every time we prayed, he's got, I don't know, was it 15 people there? Part of his team, people have come from different parts of America, Seattle, Illinois, just different places. And they're there to serve these kids and to see the gospel preached in Indonesia. I believe out of that group, pastors are going to go to different parts of the island to raise up more churches. Every time we prayed, the Spirit would come down. But the last day, the last thing we prayed for was courage. And as we prayed for courage, the Spirit of God began to bear down. It was so heavy. And we began to pray in the Spirit, and God's power was baptizing us. It was an amazing thing. But you know why? It's because they're desperate. They're all alone in Indonesia, and they're desperate, and they know unless God comes, nothing is going to happen. And it was an amazing thing. It was like the book of Acts all over again. Listen, God still comes upon people. God still baptizes people. God still gives people a heavenly language to pray. Now you say that in the church, people are like, ooh. Well, what do you think? If they needed it in the New Testament, how many believe that our day is just as bad as Paul's day and we need all the power of heaven that we can get? Can I get an amen? So God baptized us just like you did in the book of Acts, God. That's what we need. Baptize us, Lord. Help us to pray in the Holy Spirit like never before. And then here's the last thing. If the singers could come, and I'll close. The call to missions is a call to dependence and courage. It's a call to transformation and prayer. And then lastly, it's a call to go and to work. Notice that now he says, you will winnow them. I know this is kind of a unique passage of scripture, but this is the word of God. He says, you will winnow them. The wind will pick them up and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. When wheat is, you know, wheat grows and then they cut it down. And then once they cut it down, it goes on the threshing floor. They run that thing over it. And then after they run the sled over it, they take a fork, this giant fork, and they go like this. And they throw it up in the air. And as they're throwing it up in the air, the good part of the wheat that we use, the part of the wheat that is used for all of the different things that we eat, falls. And then there's like a separation that takes place. Now, that's symbolic of the fact that there's going to be a day where there's going to be a great separation. There's going to be a day of judgment. Okay? And there are people who will stand before that. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says. And on that day of judgment, that separation will take place. And some people are going to go to hell. And some people will enter in to life. And he's saying, I'm going to use you to be part of that separation and part of that harvest. But how many know if you don't pick up the fork, God can't use you? You got to pick up the fork. You got to go and you got to get to work. And so a call to missions is a call, is answering the call to go to work, to take your part, to take your place, to do what God has called you to do. You know what? God has a plan for your life. Find it and get there. Find it, get there. Let God fill you with his power. Your life is never better, never more joyful, never more satisfying than when you're in the will of God. You know, I marveled at Ben and Kathleen. I marveled as I walked there because Pastor Matt and I, we got desperate one day for a little bit of American food. And so this was like on day 8. And the Pastor Matt said, guess what? He said, I found a Wendy's. And so we took a cab to the mall for a Wendy's. It was a trip. And when we got there, it was crazy because their malls are different than our malls. I mean, it was big, it was beautiful. But when you go to that mall, you have to walk through a metal detector. It's like, oh, you know, this is a light day of shopping. You know, you got to go through a metal detector, and there's guards everywhere. They have security everywhere because of the terrorist threat. And so it's a very different experience, you know, for me, like going, and when I go to Old Orchard, you know, I'm not going Brooklyn style, like, yo, what's up? Watching you, bro, I'm watching you, what's up? None of that, right? You just go, you're chilling out, everything's cool. But there, you know, he was ordering something at Starbucks, and they even had a Starbucks over there. And he was ordering something at Starbucks, and I was like looking around, saying, yo, I don't want anybody to pick us out as Americans, you know? So I was just, you know, checking the exits, you know, knowing which door to run out. Somebody come in here, I'm running out over there. You know, all the angles. I was working all the angles. But Ben and Kathleen, they're home. They just love it. They love the food. They love everything. They were like, they're just loving it. And you know, here's the thing for you to understand, okay? The safest place in the world is to be in the center of God's will. No matter where he sends you, no matter what position he puts you in. How many know if you're where God wants you to be, you have all the powers of heaven protecting you? How many would say amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we have to be willing to go and to work. Look at what a missionary that I'm hoping to bring here. God is really using him in the Middle East. He says if we're going to reach the world for God, there have to be 4 surrenders. His name is Dick Brogdon. I want to read this and we'll close. Number 1, he says, we must surrender to the truth that the people of this world will only be won through preaching. In other words, if somebody doesn't go and share Christ, people are not going to get saved. How many know he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel? How many people know that verse? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. How many know that is for us? It is our responsibility to go and share. If you don't share the gospel with your neighbor, if you don't share the gospel with your classmates, if you don't share the gospel with your friends and your workmates, then people, how are they going to get saved? How will they know unless they hear? And how will they hear unless someone goes, unless someone is sent to them? We have to share the gospel. Number 2, we must surrender the mindset that the gospel can be preached from a position of security. A lot of people say, oh, I'm going to share when everything is right. How many know it'll never be right? It's not going to be secure. It's a call to dependence and a call to courage. Number 3, we must surrender the mindset that the gospel can be preached only in select parts of the world. It's incredible to me how other religions, other faiths, they're infiltrating the whole earth. They're going everywhere. You know, I heard recently that they had a call to prayer, that same Muslim call to prayer. They had one of those at Duke University. You know why? Because they said, we want to have a call to prayer. And they gave in and they gave a call to prayer at Duke University. But what about the Christians making a call to prayer? We're supposed to take the gospel into every part of the world. We need to infiltrate every corner of the earth and share the gospel. How many would say amen? We have to go and we have to work. We have to go. We have to take it everywhere. Number 4, we must surrender the mindset that the gospel can be preached in our own power. It will not be done in our power. It has to be the power of God. Christianity is a transformation faith. It's a faith where God comes upon us in power, and when he comes upon us in power, we are transformed for the glory of God. When was the last time you experienced a fresh baptism of the Spirit of God? Because that's what Christianity is all about. It's us coming to God and surrendering to him and opening up our hearts and saying, God, fill me, transform me. God, send me. I will go. I shared this with the students, and I'll share this with you. Life in Christ is 1,000 surrenders. So God will talk to you sometimes, and we'll talk about marriage here, and God will speak to you as a husband, and you have to surrender to what God says as a husband, even if you feel like, you know, that's kind of hard for me, but you surrender to Christ. Maybe as a wife, God will say something to you as a wife, and you surrender. Life in Christ is 1,000 surrenders. You keep yielding to God, because how many know when we yield to God, his Spirit comes in power and changes. How many believe God changes us into what he wants us to be and into who he wants to make us for the will of God for our lives? God has to change us. But it begins by saying, God, I'm willing to go and I'm willing to work, oh God. So I want to pray. I want to close this meeting by surrendering, by answering God. I don't want to take anything away from your life. You know, God's blessed us and we're in a blessed place. But more importantly, we need to have a heart for God and we need to be open to God. We need to be willing to say, God, I will go. I will work. You know what Isaiah said? Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Let's lift our hands to him. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to open the altar today. If you're here and you feel that God is calling you for a greater purpose, you may not know it all. Maybe it's full-time ministry. Maybe it's to be a missionary. But you just know that he's calling you to something else, something deeper. Life in Christ is 1,000 surrenders. It's a surrender to him to say, God, I'm willing to depend upon you, God. God, I want you to transform my life. I'm willing to go. Here I am. Send me. If that's you today, I want you to slip out of your seat. Come, slip out of your seat and come to the altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come, everyone. Anyone that feels that call and you just want to say yes to God afresh and anew. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want God to send his Spirit to do a transforming work in our lives. Everyone, take a hold of someone's hand right now. The mission field begins when we walk right out of these doors. We don't have to wait till we get to Indonesia. The mission field starts now. And I want to pray that every person would take their place and that every person would experience a fresh visitation of the power of God. The Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Pastor Dave is going to come up and pray for all of us, and then we're all going to close by praying for Indonesia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus, we ask that you would empower us. We pray, oh God, Lord, that you would baptize us with your Holy Spirit and with power, oh God, just as you did the apostles in the upper room, oh God. You gave them supernatural gifts, oh God, Lord, to be used on behalf of seeing other people come to know you. And I pray, oh God, that you would embolden us, oh God. Lord, we just pray that all fear would be removed, oh God. And I pray, oh Lord, for an audaciousness, oh God, among your people, oh God. May they be bold and may they be mighty ministers of your gospel. We pray, oh God, Lord, that every place that they go, whether it's a family reunion, whether it's a school, whether it's a workplace, whether it's home, we pray in the name of Jesus, fill us with your power, fill us with your grace, oh God. We ask, oh God, Lord, that you, oh God, would put your words in our mouth, oh God, and may we not shrink back from declaring the praises of God to the people around us. We ask, oh God, Lord, that you would release a supernatural power to flow through us so that when we talk to people, they would know that God is in us. I pray, oh God, Lord, that you would release people, oh God, to function in their God-given calling, oh Lord Jesus. I pray, oh God, for those, oh Lord, that they know that you're calling them. They know that you're sending them. We pray in the name of Jesus. Give them the boost that they need to walk in faith and obey you, oh God. We pray, oh God, Lord, that you would establish the plans, establish the path, oh God, Lord, that you have set before us, oh God. We pray, oh Lord, as we sow seed, may the devil not come and snatch it away, oh God, but may we bear much fruit, oh God. We ask, oh Lord, that you would baptize us with your love. A fresh burden for the places that we go to. Give us the heart of Jesus, who was standing and looking over Jerusalem and wept and said, oh, that they would have come under me. I would have taken them under my wing as a mother bird takes a little chicks. God, we pray, oh Lord, that you would give us the heart of the Father. And God, I pray right now, oh God, we pray, oh Lord, for Indonesia. We pray for that dark land, Lord, that's covered, oh God, with the religion of Islam. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would break the enemy's lies down, oh God. May they lose traction. We pray that it would be shown to be empty and vain, oh God. We pray for those missionaries that are there right now. We pray, oh God, that you would empower them by your Holy Spirit. And though they are small, make them mighty, oh God. Though they are young, give them wisdom, oh God. We pray, oh God, in every area that they might lack, we ask that you would be everything. We pray, oh God, Lord, that as they speak, oh God, that their words would be anointed and it would break off the yoke of sin and slavery. Yes. We ask, oh God, that the preaching that they do would break down walls and barriers. We pray that you would raise up Indonesian pastors, oh God, and missionaries, oh Lord Jesus. We pray that you'd raise up deacons. We pray that you'd raise up servants, oh God, of the King. We ask, oh God, and we believe, oh Lord, that even as we pray here, as one person, we unite our hearts. We believe that you have heard from heaven and that you are already moving and sending the answer. And so, God, we trust that in Indonesia, we're going to see the power of God sweep over
yes,
that
Lord.
Place. We pray, oh God, for the seeds of DNA that were planted there. We ask, oh God, that it would bear much fruit. And God, we pray, oh Lord, for every student that's hearing the gospel. May they go back to their home. And may they be, oh God, like a missionary to their home. May they be, oh God, like a torch in a dry haystack, oh God, that goes back full of your spirit and power and ignites the hearts of the people that are hurting and desperate for you. We pray, oh God, do it, oh God. Do it in us. Do it in Chicago, oh God. Do it in our neighborhoods. Do it in the places that are dead and dry, oh God. Oh God, breathe your breath of life on us, we pray, oh God. We believe you for it, and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together and bless him. Hallelujah. 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 We glorify your name, O God.